To work. Hallelujah. There's one brother, he's honest. He raised his hand. He said, I'm ready to work. Hallelujah. I want you to stand to your feet. May I request? All right. Okay. All of you, I know you made yourself comfortable on those chairs, but I want you to do something. Whoever is standing, I want you to come, touch every chair, and pray that God would fill each one of those chairs by faith. We ask anything. The word said he will do it. We ask not and we have not. I was sitting there. Beautiful chairs. But we need people to occupy these chairs. And I want you to step out of your comfort zone, and just try to put hands on chairs that are empty and ask God to fill them as quickly as possible. Would you please come out? Hallelujah. I'll be praying as you're walking around and touching. Hallelujah. Touch the seats and touch the reclines, everything. Hallelujah. Father, we just pray that you will fill this place. You have not made this place available with so many chairs. You have a plan. It's a larger plan, a plan beyond our plan. I pray, Heavenly Father, there will be spiritual food in this place. People will come hungry. People will come here thirsty, that they will be filled. Father, every chair will be occupied. And we just pray it in Jesus. All things are possible. We thank you, Father, for bringing people from all over this county, that your name be glorified. People's needs shall be met. People shall be healed. Receive the touch of your Holy Spirit. People come here and get saved. People come here and set free. People come here and be delivered from all of their oppressions, spiritual wickedness, the darkness and everything. Father, people that are listening to this and watching this, wherever they are, Father, they will make a visit to this place, that your glory shall touch them. Thank you, Father. Thank you very much. Oh, goodness, God. Goodness, gracious God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I didn't mean to put you to work, but this is what we have to do. Amen. We are the feet and we are the hands of God for his goodness, for the work of God, and we'll do it in faith. Amen. Those of you that have touched these chairs, I want you to see it in the Spirit soon and very soon, that these places will begin to fill up. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, God. Praise you, God. Hallelujah. 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 Wonderful. Wonderful. Hallelujah. Faith is rising. Faith is rising. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I already see the rattling. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. God's going to have a youth ministry here. Hallelujah. God's going to have a children's ministry here. God's going to have an adult ministry here. God's going to have an elderly ministry here. And every ministry is going to be so abundantly blessed. Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. You know, we all talk about the Spirit of God. And we try to understand and we try to receive. We try to, you know, be in operation. But as a matter of fact, if we do not understand the spiritual working that God initiates in the spirit realm, We may not see it. We may not see it. We just have to focus on the spiritual things to feel the presence of God. You know, we all are human beings. Anywhere from 170 pounds, a little bit above, a little bit below. And how many of us really can see that we have 60 miles of arteries and capillaries in our body? 60,000 miles, not 60 miles, 60,000 miles of blood vessels in our body. Have you ever seen it? No. But that works in your body. If it doesn't work, I don't think I can survive without my blood vessels, capillaries, without them working. And we don't understand that. And then there are 266 bones in our each one of our body. 206 bones. And each bone carries its own work. Fingers don't carry the legs' work, and legs don't carry the hands' work. Every bone. See, that's what God is talking about, the body. We're not just, you know, I'm not trying to criticize anybody. But every one of us have a work to do in the body of Christ. You know, we just don't come and sit for about an hour. Praise God, we've done our part, and we go home. And I know the roast is cooking, and we're ready to eat. But that's not what it is. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's not meat and drink. And God, sometimes, if we are open, He wants us to do things that are beyond our ability. That's what God is. If you can carry 50 pounds, and if you just suddenly picked up 500 pounds, it's not you. It's not you. Some extra force, extra energy, extra strength has come upon you, and you're able to lift that 500 pounds. Praise God. And we don't know how much we have and how much God has deposited spiritually in our lives. A lot of times our disability in the spirit realm, a lot of times, lethargy. A lot of times, negligence. Do not allow us to do our full potential. You don't know how much potential you have. I did not know how much potential I have. But we have to start somewhere. Before we start, we have to keep our ears open and say, God, speak to me. Tell me what I can do for you. You know, this life, we have to do something for God. It's not all the time, God, give me, God, do me this favor, that favor, do this. All the time, we're not at the receiving end only. Because we have God's potential in us. We have to use the potential. We have to take a step of faith forward. We have to begin to feel that anointing of God that God has freely put upon us that we may have to put to use so that God's name be glorified. About 5 years ago, I could not believe that I, only by the direction of God, I started to build, not just me, but as God directed me to build a building that I did not know if I was able to finish it. 153 feet long, 64 feet wide. I, in my own natural mind, I couldn't believe it. If it wasn't for the faith of God, I wouldn't have even started. But once, you see, not having any knowledge of building, a metal building, contracted a guy. He came and he talked big and he said, hey, this is going to be the world's class building. I said, I believed it. And about 3 months into the building, that building started to tilt. Man, what's going on? And he convinced me, hey, don't worry about it. I'm a master class builder. He said, give me more money. I'm going to finish it. I thought he was going to. Gave him some more money. That night, him and his crew, altogether 12 people, disappeared with the money. And soon after he left, the heavy wind was blowing and that building was tilting. I said, my God. And we had to bring another guy, a contractor. He said, I'm going to charge you for dismantling this building. We had to pay him to bring everything down. Already metal sheet was nailed on the top. It was going to be a disaster. But yet I said, go ahead. And then we had to dig 12 feet deep to pour concrete and set up huge metal pillars. But anyway, I wasn't disappointed. I was not disappointed. I said, God, you told me to build it. I'm building it. And not in my strength, in your strength. Today, we're praising God that it's near complete, except for the little few things. You have a great part in that building. And that building, you know, it was all by faith. If it wasn't God that prompted your heart to come on aboard and share a little bit of burden and pour something into it, it would not have been done. But thank God for Pastor Wes, and he stepped in, and step by step, we're going to celebrate the victory of God. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. And today, I just want to share just briefly, I want you to be a character in the Bible. I know we read, we look at them as, my goodness, wow, look at Abraham, full of faith. Look at Joseph, man of, you know, faith. All of this, but how about you? Doesn't matter whether you are a boy or a girl. Put yourself in a character. I want you to feel there's so many characters, but today we are going to choose Noah. Noah. And I want you to feel that I'm a present day Noah. I'm a present day Noah. You all know what Noah did. Any little kid can tell you. What did he do? He built an ark. That's as simple as we can make it. But there is a little bit more to it than Noah building an ark. There's a little bit more of a faith. There's more of an obedience. There's more of willingness. There's more of righteousness. There's more of the grace of God. There's all of these factors working together. That's what I'm going to speak. Last night, I was up studying for today. And I said, I'm not going to go there just to get an offering. That's not what it is. I just want to plant something in those hearts. I want to challenge them. There are enough men. They can turn the city of Bluntsville upside down. Or Blount County upside down. When you stand up for God, God will use you to turn things around for your benefit and also for the benefit of the other people. But we have to believe that we are chosen of God. We have something living inside of us more than just a imagination. There's the spirit being that we have received from God. So we just have to think. We just have to think. And I want you to believe just for today that you are a Noah, whether you're a boy or a girl, a man or a woman, doesn't matter what. Everybody, I want you to think that you are a Noah. I just want to read a few verses. They're going to be on the screen as well, but this is something that I want to read. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. And God saw that wickedness of man was great in the earth. Does it sound like 2025? Right? This was happening many, 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 many years ago. About just a few generations after Adam. Happening then, and the scripture recorded, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. I know you guys travel around Blount County and probably other counties and Alabama and maybe other states and all over the nation. But I do travel a little bit, outside the country as well. And everywhere you go, there is evil. The whole world is filled with evil. You know, we can identify the time of Noah was just exactly like the time all around the world in 2025. So now, God saw that. That was evil. And I know you see it every day. I know once or twice you talk about, oh man, that was really bad. And they were really doing bad. They were really shooting some. I mean, the wife shot the husband. And the husband shot the mother shot the son. Evil all over. So how are we going to bring a change in this generation? So we have to follow a pattern. What did God do at that time when all the evil he saw all around? And then when he saw the evil, he had to take a step forward and do something to fix it. Now, we're going to read verse 6. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. 7. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. That was a decision that God made, seeing all the evil all around the world. Now, verse 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. You understand why I asked you to pretend like you are the Noah today on this Sunday? Why? Because as Noah found grace, you found grace in the sight of God. What is grace? When we receive something that we don't deserve to receive, that's what is grace. So we don't deserve this salvation. We don't deserve to brag about all of these good things that God may give us. It was all by his mercy, by his compassion. It's not our qualification, but it's because of his love. He has given us those things so that we can enjoy with him. Now, 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So, Noah found grace. So just, he found grace. Hallelujah. I found grace. I'm going to enjoy my grace. I'm just going to go on and sit under a tree and I'm going to enjoy my grace. No, that was not it. If we found grace, we need to pass it on to other people. We need to pass it on to our family, mothers and fathers, brothers and sisters, sons and daughters, mother-in-laws and father-in-laws, and whoever, all your relatives, nephews and nieces, all of these people, they need to receive grace also, that they might be recipients of the same grace that we have received from God. So, when he received the grace, it was not just free. Verse 9, these are the generations of Noah. He was a just man and perfect in his generation, and Noah walked with God. I want you to see this. I want you to see this. He was a just man. He was a perfect man. A lot of times I went to churches and a lot of people, they said that, oh, I'm not perfect. I'm just saved by grace. I think there is another level for us to grow. We can grow up to be perfect. Because that's what the scripture said. As I am perfect, saith the Lord, be ye perfect also. There is room for us to grow, even grow taller and higher. And we can grow also. Here, we see that Noah was a perfect man. The most important thing here I see, Noah walked with God. I have a couple of questions for you. Since you found grace in the Lord, have you tried to walk with God? Or God is somewhere else and you're walking your own walk? But Noah wasn't doing that. He found grace and he was trying to respond to the grace that he received. The Bible said he was a just man. That means he was a righteous man. And he was a perfect man. That was not it. He walked with God. You know, last night I was convicted. I was convicted. I was studying. I was trying to pray and prepare for this morning. And I said, God, you know, I want to be perfect as well. I want to be perfect. You know, I'm a preacher for many, many years. But yet last night the conviction fell upon me. And I began to pray and ask God for forgiveness. Some of the things that went through my mind, things that I did not even know. And I remembered in the sixth class, I stole something from another student. I didn't think much about it. But last night, God began to bring those things. It was not a stealing, but it was pertained to be that extent. And I said, God, please forgive me. Unless we clear ourselves with God, every little thing God knows. We may think, oh, that God hadn't seen it. No, God knows everything. But he is waiting for us to come forward. When do you think God is going to release his complete power and his complete anointing and his complete work into your life? When he feels comfortable giving it unto you. Because he wants each and every one of us to go out and bless other people. It's not just for us only. Not just for us to be blessed. He wants us to go forward and go out and bless other people. I was just blessed by brothers teaching this morning. You know, the Lord is my shepherd. When he becomes the shepherd, that's when I shall not want. We have to learn to make him my shepherd. A shepherd is not going to let the sheep, okay, go ahead. Oh, wander around. Do whatever you want to do. They're not under the shepherd. Unless we make the Lord our shepherd, we will never be able to make him our shepherd if we just wander around. We just have to have. You know, in me or in anyone, there are some things that we need to work on. A lot of people are angry. Man, a drop of a hat. They're just going to pick a fight. You know, they're very angry. I mean, something happens, they turn around and curse right away. So many things. You know, Paul warns about the evil coming out of our mouth. He says that the sweet water and bitter water does not come from the same well. If you have the living waters inside of you, and those waters are coming out, they're never going to come as bitter waters. Those are living waters, praise God. And so God is trying to do something, but he was looking for a righteous man, a perfect man, who is willing to walk with God. God can only use people. Oh, God, I just want to take a vacation for this whole month. I can't do anything for you. God says, okay, you go on your own. Anything happens, that's all yours. It's not mine. We don't walk with God, we get in trouble. We don't want to get in trouble. You know, sometimes we don't know how to maneuver ourselves through the things that the enemy brings across our path. That's when we need God. That's when we need God. You see, in the evil world, in the midst of the evil world, Noah is living untouched. I want you to understand that. I want you to understand that. That means there is hope for us. Doesn't matter how evil this world may become. Still, if we learn to find grace in His eyes, and if we try to live perfect according to His Scripture, and we learn to walk with Him, we can overcome this world, praise God. We can overcome this world, praise God. We can overcome this world, praise God. You know, I have some things that I want to share with you. Hallelujah. Noah walked with God. Have you ever perceived what was God asking Noah to build? It's not a paper boat. You know, a lot of kids, they say, they fold and they make a boat. They put it on the water. It just floats, right? No. God didn't call him and say, okay, Noah, build an ark. Just go ahead and build an ark. Well, I don't know. He'd never seen an ark. He was living in a desert. And he said, God, what kind of ark? Well, what, just build anything. No, God was very particular. 1.5 football fields long. Have you ever ran from one end to the other end of a football field? Huh? That's 1.5 times. He was not giving an easy task. If you are God's child, man or woman, young or old, you need to learn to take the biggest challenge that you ever seen in your life. That's what God is all about. You don't compromise because your strength is dwindling. Your pocket is light. You know, we used to have a Hispanic family. I used to pastor in Jacksonville, Texas. And we used to visit their family. The lady, the mother of the pastor who passed away. And she used to invite us, my wife and I and my kids. Because she used to make best tacos and best tortillas. And all of these best things with spicy sauce on that. And my wife, you know, she likes to eat hot and spicy stuff. And every time she says, let's go. I said, okay, we'll go. As soon as we enter into that house, her brother, he's blind. And he can figure it out. Somebody was coming in and the door opens. And we ask him, how are you, Tony? Not good. I said, what happened? I'm sick. Oh, my God. You sick? He said, yeah. Where? In my pocket. He was sick in his pocket. He was sick in his pocket. You know, if we walk with God, there is an unknown excitement. Unknown excitement. That's what I feel. I'm not 27. I'm not 27. Thank God. I say this every morning when I wake up and I say, God, what greater responsibility you want to give me, and give me the faith, give me the strength to carry that responsibility. I'm not going to run away. I'm not going to hide. I am going to learn to walk with God, because walking with God is excitement to me. Oh, God. That's wonderful. You know what? 300 cubits is 450 feet. That's 1.5 football fields. What kind of a God do we serve? Huh? He's giving a measurement. There was no measuring tape for Noah. He couldn't go to Office Depot or Lowe's and say, hey, give me the longest measuring tape because I'm going to build a ship. There ain't no Office Depot. There ain't no Lowe's. That's just Noah and God. Noah and God. Noah and God. I want you to hear something. Doesn't matter though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, don't forget you and God will never part if you learn to walk with Him. If you learn to hear Him, He will not leave you nor forsake you. He wasn't just trying to entice you. He was not lying. Doesn't matter how much of a hardship you were going through. If you learn to walk with Him, He will walk with you. That was His promise. Though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, the death was facing Him. But He said, hey, I'm not afraid. Why? The Lord is going to comfort me. You know, this is what happened. Width is 75 feet. I don't know how wide this is, but Noah's ship was wider than this. I believe that this is about 50 feet, maybe 54 feet. So 75 feet, go a little bit further. And he said, height is 45 feet. God, since lumber is kind of scarce, can I build about a 250 feet long? What do you think God is going to say? No way, buddy, no way. My measurement is final. I have a reason why. See, God, you know, everybody has a testimony, right? Everybody has a testimony. But how do you gain a testimony? By taking a test. Your test determines your testimony. Here, Noah said, okay, God, you want me to build a 450 feet long ship? How does it look? Oh, go to Los Angeles port. You will see a lot of ships and build one of those. Is that correct? Uh-uh. There was not a saw to cut lumber. Huh? There was not a saw to cut lumber. Not one iron instrument to do anything. He doesn't have nothing. But God just said, go build it. He might ask you. Sometimes He might ask you. He wants you to go to a place that you have never been to. He wants you to stand up there in full of the Holy Spirit and by faith. God is going to show you somebody that you need to touch Him. He may be going through some things that he doesn't know how to get out, but you are the only one that can help him to come out of those struggles, to come out of that darkness, to come out of that miserly pit. You know, so God is using you. But you know, if you look at the logic of it, Noah did not know no logic. He was walking with God. Whatever God said, okay, I'll do it. I'll do it. You know what? This is just something. In 2018, when the whole world thought Tesla was going to bankrupt, Tesla cars, you know, electric cars, Tesla was going to bankrupt. Mercedes-Benz company predicted it will bankrupt by summer. They just started it. In about 6 months, they're going to go bankrupt. And BMW said they will never mass produce. Doesn't matter how big they get. They'll never mass produce. Wall Street affirmed. What is a Wall Street? Where you put your money and your money grows like a tree, right? Okay, Wall Street affirmed that production is a nightmare. Tesla is not going to face it. Elon Musk decided to move in into the factory, bringing his determination and his pillow. What happened? He suspended all of the comments that all the other companies made. Today, Tesla is worth more than a Toyota, a GM, a Ford, and a BMW combined. Huh? If people are talking about your failure, let them talk. But you, as you walk with God, you don't think about failure. You think about victory. Because your God is trustworthy. You know, God talks about, in the book of Isaiah chapter 40, I think, remember not the things of the old. A lot of times, a lot of people, they think about, oh, 6 months ago, this. Oh, a year ago, that. And a year and a half ago, this. Man, you can't think of the past and move to the future. You have to think about the future and move towards the future because the past is gone. In God, there is no past. There is only a bright future. Praise God. Today, we are standing in the presence of God. You know, we have a golden corral in front of us. What are you guys going to do? You're going to go and say, oh, that's good. A lot of vegetables. Oh, my goodness. He got some steaks. Oh, chicken is really good. All right, thank you, God. And then you walk away? You go into Golden Corral to munch, brother. I mean, you're going to munch on. Why did you go to Golden Corral? Because you're going to put out those groceries that are sitting there for many hours, praise God. You know, my friend went to a place, I didn't see it, but he saw there were two ladies eating at a Chinese place. And the owner of the Chinese place, she came over to these two ladies that were eating Chinese food. He says, that's enough. You have to get up and leave now. You can't eat anymore. My goodness, I don't know how long they've been sitting there, how much they ate already. She asked them, you can take your money, but you leave now. That's what we're going to do when we go to Golden Corral. We are going to enjoy. How many of us go to a movie, to watch a movie, James Bond movie? We're just going to have our eyes closed and say, I came to a movie. This is good. Is that what you're going to do? No. You're going to watch every frame that passes by. You're just going to see that James Bond. You know what? That's what you're going to do. When you go to a ball game, man, you're not going to sit on that place, though they give you a place to sit. You're just going to jump up. You're just going to use both your hands. If you had four, you're going to use those. And you're going to clap for your team. That's why you're going to go. But people go to church. They don't get accepted. They don't get excited. They just need to get excited because they're in the presence of God. This is the place where all our needs are going to be met. Spiritual, physical, emotional, financial. Every need is going to be met. Praise God. We just need to understand that God has brought to His presence. As soon as you walk through, it's not about the looks of the building. It's not about the people that are here. It's not about anything, but you have learned to walk with God. Doesn't matter how many other people do whatever things they like to do, but you are in the presence of God. You took your hour or 2 hours to worship God, and you have to do it to the best of your ability, praise God. That's what God wants you to do. Amen. Noah was a just man. He was a righteous man. He was a perfect man in his generation. Do you think that Noah was building his ark just for the animals? No. He was building that ark for his sons, for his daughters-in-law, and for his wife. Eight people, 450 feet long ship. And then God said, hey, people are not going to come in. People are not going to. No, I didn't throw a fit. He said, man, you made me build 450 feet ship. Ain't here nobody coming in. Me and my family. Man, I can't put up with my wife anymore. And why are you bringing my wife with me? Just leave her there. There are a lot of people like that. But Noah was a righteous man. Noah was a righteous man. If I'm going, my wife is going. If my wife is going, my sons are going. If my sons are going, my daughters-in-law are going. Because this is about me and my family. Joshua said, me and my family will serve God Almighty. Hallelujah. We need to learn to bring our family aboard. We need to learn to bring our children aboard to the presence of God. This is what God has brought you first. And that's why He gave you grace. Glory be to God. You know, this is, well, do we make mistakes? Huh? Who said that? There you go. That's the truth, brother. We do make mistakes. We do make mistakes. But don't let those mistakes be repetitive. Don't let them happen every day. Oh, yeah, man, God's grace is abundant. You don't take it for granted. Maybe once, by mistake, you let that happen. Just once in your lifetime is enough. You have learned a lesson. You have learned a lesson. So what happens? Maybe because of your negligence. Maybe because you're overambitious. Maybe because you couldn't control your emotions. Maybe you flared up. You slapped a guy or done something. But you see, in God, there is forgiveness. In God, there is forgiveness. What happened to King David? He writes 51 Psalm. In that Psalm, he says, Psalm 51, David lustfully sinned. And now verse 4, when he realized that he sinned, this is what he said, against thee. Yeah, you're not sinning against the preacher. You're not sinning against the mayor. That's what David said. Man. Against thee, thee only I have sinned. You have to understand. God was not happy when I sinned. God's not happy when I trespassed. God's not happy when I became weak. God's not happy. Against thee and thee only I have sinned. When you sin, if you sin in your sin against God, you can ask Him. In verse 7 it says, purge me with hyssop. Hyssop is not for human cleansing. But yet, David is considering himself like a piece of rag. After he committed the sin, he said, man, I'm nothing. I'm wasted. So he's reaching out to God and said, God, cleanse me. Purge me with hyssop. And create in me a clean heart. This is first thing. First thing is, we got to have a clean heart first. A lot of people, they say, oh yeah, I forgive you, but man, they carry that in their heart. That's a human. You know, oh, he hurt me a lot. That's true. But you hurt God a lot too. You didn't realize that. But God is not going to keep anything against you. He's just going to say, okay, my son came and asked me to forgive. I will forgive him. And this is what he said. Cast me not away from your presence. Now, this is what I like. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. First thing he asked, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. You know what it means? That is the connection that we have with God. Holy Spirit is the connection to know the mind of God, to do the things of God. We cannot do things on our own power. That's the Holy Spirit has to help us. That's why David is begging, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. And he says in verse 12, restore unto me the joy of salvation. My friends, To have salvation is to have joy. If we don't have joy in our hearts, we just have to check our salvation if it is complete or not. A lot of people walk like, man, they went through a barbecue grill. Their face looks like, oh man, I got a little bit hot from that grill. No, if you have God and the Holy Spirit in you, your face is going to glow. Your face is going to glow. And this is what it said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. You may have trespassed one time or the other, but the Scripture of God gives you the opportunity to realize that you can be restored to God. In James chapter 2, verse 10, for whosoever keep the whole law, yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. He's talking about the commandments that were given to the people of Israel. There were 10 in all. And if you broke one of those, man, you broke them all. You broke them all. You know, I just got this book just a few days ago. I was visiting a friend of mine in Tifton, Georgia. And he had this. He's an investor. We were talking. And then I saw this book I have never seen. The Names of God. This is Marilyn Hickey. Many years ago, maybe 45 years ago, she wrote this book. Man, some astounding facts in this. This is really an eye-opener about how many gods. You know, we don't understand. We call him the Lord, the Lord, the Lord. But here, she explained what that means to call him the Lord and what was his real name. You see, I really appreciate Pastor West. Finally, man, I don't know how many hundreds of times he repeated my name. Finally, he stood up. You know, he used to call me John, right? But today he said, Ben Yehuda? Is that what it is? See, practice makes one perfect. I don't know, Pastor West, how many times you practiced. But finally, brother, you have thrilled me. Glory be to God. And I saw these here. Brother, there is some astounding truth in this book that we sometimes forget that God has a name as well. Jesus has a name, but his Father has a name as well. And she really, I mean, makes it very clear that why we shouldn't call him the Lord, but we should use, because your name, what's your name, sir? Jonathan. Jonathan in English is Jonathan, right? Johnny. Yeah, but your real name is Jonathan. No? Johnny? Okay, his name is Johnny. Praise God, praise God. His real name is Johnny. Okay, I'll send you to Russia, and they're going to call you Yohanna. What are you going to say? My name is Johnny. You better call me Johnny. You better call, right? Right or wrong? Right? Well, maybe Russia is not a good place to go. We'll send you to South America. They're going to call you Yuhan. What would you say? No, not me. You're not going to even turn around. You're just going to walk away because that was not your name. How about God? If he introduced himself as Yahweh God in Hebrew, she explains all of that. You call him the Lord? Huh? Who are you calling? I don't know who you're calling. You think God should have a name? Jesus have a name? You know, when Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and life, no one shall come unto the Father but through me or by me. So the destiny that Jesus is revealing to us, we don't stop after knowing Jesus. We should move forward because he has shown us the way and the truth and life. No one can come unto the Father but by me. It jumped at me. It said, oh, okay, my destiny is to know God of creation. I cannot stop with Jesus, though I get all the benefits from Jesus, though he is with me all along. But I need to know where my tree, is. The other day, my daughter called us, I think it's about time to quit. No, okay. All right, good, thank you. My daughter called for Father's Day. I just come back from India. My daughter works in California. She sent 3 tickets, one for me, one for my wife, one for my brother, my son, her brother. And we flew over to California to be with her for the Father's Day. Man, that's a long way to go for a Father's Day, huh? It's better to go and buy a steak in Arab and eat. That's even better, right? Going to California. But anyway, I tell you, God blessed her, so she kind of, you know, brought us over. And they took us to, that was my lifelong dream, to see the sequoias. How many of you have seen sequoias? Oh, there you are, brother. I can't lie now. I was going to brag about them, but since you have seen, I'm just going to limit myself to the truth, huh? But I was only go up to three miles, where there is a tree 32 feet around. 32 feet around. And there was a room inside, like about 8 feet maybe. And you can just go. And they said another 3 miles, there was a 2-lane highway goes through one of those trees. How big are trees? Some of them have lived over 2,000 years. Unless you see, you're just going to, man, this dude has come from a mental hospital. Oh, man, a tree. Man, we have seen all the oaks here. They're about like that. You can hug them. Man, this guy is, man, from the time go, man, this guy's lying about these trees. You are with me, my witness, man. Anytime I need you, I'm just going to call on you. Praise God. God sent you here, brother. You're my rescuer. Praise God. Hallelujah. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. If you don't have a joy in your heart, this is how you test your joy. This is how you test your salvation, with your joy. That will tell you just exactly how much your salvation is alive inside of you. If you don't have the joy, you don't have salvation. You can pretend. You can imagine. You can say you have salvation. But the joy is the marker of my salvation, praise God. And here this James says, for whosoever keeps the whole law, yet offend in one point, is guilty of all. So what is that? We just have to learn to keep every word that God has spoken in his book. 1 John 3:4. Whosoever committeth sin, transgresseth also the commandments. For sin is the transgression of the law. 1 John. See, there are so many mile markers for us, so that we may not sin. We just go blindfolded sometimes. We should not be blindfolded. The scripture is given to us. Noah did not have the Bible. Noah didn't have the Bible. He never went to church in his life. He doesn't know any pastor. What did he know? God. Because he learned to walk with God. When you are fellowshipping in a church, the church is so important to us that we need to learn to walk with God. When every one of us walk with God, when we come to church, we are all going to speak the same thing. Why? Because we are all walking the same direction. There's going to be disputes. You know, when I was in the seminary, I was doing my graduate work in the seminary. A pastor came. Man, he was very disturbed. And we asked him, what happened, man? He said, oh, man, I can't really tell you. What happened? I said, oh, man, I can't. Oh, come on now, tell me. And, of course, there are other people. And he said, man, last Friday we were having a, not elders, but deacons meeting. We were having a deacons meeting. And we had a little bit of argument. One of the deacons, man, pulled his revolver and shot one of the deacons. Put him out of misery. Because he's always coming against anything they meant. But anyway, that's not. But see, just becoming a deacon doesn't mean anything. Becoming anything doesn't mean anything. You have to learn to put your body in control. Your mind has to be in God's control. The only thing you do is you walk with God. And God is your mind. God is your, you know, spirit. God is going to lead you in the direction. You have to completely depend on Him. What about me? You are dead. If you want to be rising up, you have to think that I'm dead, man. I cannot retaliate for anything. Why? I had some very, very, you know, bad situations in my life. I have learned in all of these years of my life, I learned to turn them over to God and say, God, you said you are going to take the revenge. You can reach down to anybody, anywhere, anytime. I'm just going to take a step backwards. I'll let you do it. Praise God. I have watched God doing just perfect work in their lives. So we need to depend on God. Walking with God is nothing but being righteous in the eyes of God. Now, I'm going to come to a conclusion. Not too long, too much. But the conclusion is, there is no blueprint given to Noah. He just told him what to do. What he wanted Noah to do. 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, 45 feet tall, you build one. God, I don't have any. Well, just build anyway. You know what? He took 100 years to build that ark. How long are you willing to build an ark for God? A spiritual ark. You have to feel love for people. You know, in front of you, your good friends, your dear friends, in the past, you rubbed shoulders with them. Probably you've done some things, but God, through His mercy, He saved you. And now you don't think about them anymore. No, you have to go back. You do not know whom God will send into your path to touch and to restore them back to God. I was preaching a revival in Montana, Great Falls, Montana. I flew, and I was going to change my airplane in Salt Lake City, Utah. This was many years ago. And they upgraded me to first class. I said, wow, this is something, man. They knew that I was a preacher. No, they upgraded me. So I here was, there was a big man sitting right here. There's two seats. One seat near the window was empty. That was my seat. But I was so afraid to ask him to get up and let me go through because he was such a big man. Besides, he had a big glass of whiskey in front of him, man. He was drinking like a frog, and he was. And I called the air hostess. I said, ma'am, would you please ask him to get up so I can go to my seat? And she came and she requested him, man. He was big dude. I think he was probably 350, 375, every bit of it. 6 foot tall or more. He was an African-American. I'm not against him. But the only thing is when I looked at him, I got scared. And the air hostess came. And she said, sir, would you please get up and let this man go through? So I was just like in a... Man, I went to my seat. I sat down immediately. Immediately. I said, God, I want this man. That's what I said. I want this man. Somehow or the other, I need to talk to him about the gospel. Listen, brother, if you walk with God, there's going to be a challenge in your life. There's going to be a challenge in your life. You forget about yourself. You forget about the circumstance because the Holy Spirit is working through you. Doesn't matter what it is. I began to pray. I began to pray in tongues. In about a half hour, we were in the midair. I took a quick step. And I wanted to break a conversation with him. And I said, oh my goodness, look at that, how beautiful. And he looked at through the window and said, what is so beautiful? It ain't nothing but sky. Oh man, there ain't no question. I was shut down like that. I shut up and I turned back. God, please forgive me. Without taking your consent, I went, tried to do with him. I'm not doing it anymore. Please give me the opportunity. And a little later, and I was praying and I was praying. I was a 3.5 hour flight to Dallas, Texas. And I was praying and I said, God, somehow or the other, I need to bring him to the Lord. And then I turned around. You know, God put something in my heart. And I said, sir, you're running from your domestic problems. He was 6 foot or more, 350 or 375. Besides, he was drunk. He drank 6 glasses of whiskey. And I told him, I said, sir, you're running from your domestic problems. You have a dispute with your wife. And God just told me that you cannot find an answer in this glass. A total stranger. I have never seen him before. I do not know who that was. But I said what the Holy Spirit dropped in my heart. His eyes got that big, man. I thought he was going to give it to me. He bent over, reached down under the chair in front of him, pulled a sash about that big. He unzipped it. He took a stack of pictures and he took them out. You know what this is? No, sir, I sure don't. That's my yacht. I got it in Miami. And then another picture. You know what this is? No, sir, I sure don't. This is my mansion in Seattle, Washington. Man, he was showing all of his buddies. Somehow my mind is clicking. This dude is a football player. He turned and he said, this is my wife. I have not seen her for 2 long years. I'm going to Dallas hoping that I can reconcile with her. I have a little girl, 2 years old. I have not seen her for 2 years. My heart is longing to see her. And I play for Seattle Seahawks. His name was Cortez Kennedy. Cortez Kennedy. If you have watched the ball game in the 90s, he was the tight end, I think, for the Seattle Seahawks. But anyway, big dude, let's remember that. And after he said that, I said, sir, I'm going to pray with you. I'm going to agree with you that you will have a good visit with your wife and good visit with your daughter. And you know what he said? Man, he jerked my hand off and he said, hey, hold on, Reverend. What are you trying to do to me, man? I don't believe in all these things. You don't believe, huh? Okay. Whatever you want to do. I made you an offer. And I turned over to the window. And I didn't give up. I began to pray. Tears were coming out of my eyes. I said, God, I asked for just one soul. Just one soul. Make a difference. He drank another glass of whiskey. I thought he was completely loaded. Somebody has to carry him out of that aircraft. Yeah, man, it was just like water, drinking water. I can't drink 7 glasses of water myself. And here this dude, 7 glasses of whiskey. And the pilot announced, folks, I'm in the initial descent into Dallas-Fort Worth Airport. And we're going to be there. We got 35 minutes. And he finished his glass. The hostess came, asked him to fold the tray. And he looked at me and he said, Reverend, would you please pray for me? You make a sincere effort. Doesn't matter how hard his heart is. You can't break it, but God can. But you have to make an attempt. You have to give a try. You have to feel the need of that soul. You have to love that person, not as a human, but as a soul inside of him. Took his hand, man. His hand is three times bigger than mine. Took his hand and I prayed, God, make a way for this man. Make a way for this man. Father, let him arise. Proclaim the truth of salvation. Let Jesus be king in his life. Man, I prayed. And of course, there was still 30 more minutes. And he talked to me and he said, you know where I'm from? I said, no, sir. I remembered to say, sir, because I don't know what's going to happen. No, sir, I don't. I'm from Memphis, Tennessee. You can check it out. Cortez Kennedy was from Memphis, Tennessee. You know what he said? Man, all my life, I wanted to be a highway patrolman. Man, you're making millions playing that ball. You want to be a highway patrolman? Yeah, that's what I wanted to be when I was growing up as a child. Man, he just started to pour so much information into me. But anyway, that time was gone. We got out of the airplane, and then he went to get his baggage. I went to get mine. We parted. 2.5 years later, I was in a missions conference in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. There was a lady by the name Lindsay, and she was there. She was from Washington, Seattle, Washington. And by mistake, we just ran into each other, and I asked her where she was from. She said, oh, I'm from Washington. Where in Washington? Seattle, Washington. Oh, really? Do you know a guy by name Cortez Kennedy? She said, oh, you're talking about the guy that played for Seattle Seahawks? Yeah. What do you want to know about him? I just don't know. I just want to know what he's doing and how he is. You know what she said? He already retired from football. But he's going from high school, preaching the gospel to the high school kids, turning the city upside down for God. Man, my heart rejoiced. My heart rejoiced. That's what the book of John 12:24 says. Unless a corn of wheat falls to the ground, and dies. That corn has to die in order to produce a new one. Much more is going to be produced. Christians don't know how to die. But we learn to die. We're not only going to live, but we're going to make other people come alive. Dear God, none took heed to Noah, all of the effort that he was putting forth. But thank God he was able to bring his sons, daughters-in-law, and wife, 8 souls all together. My friends, first of all, it's me and my family. It's you and your family. You never neglect your children, doesn't matter how unruly they are. They are God given to you. You teach them to be in the ark of protection of God. Today, we're learning. There's 5 things I'm going to quit. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. You have to make sure that you found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Number 2, Noah was righteous and perfect. You have to know if you are righteous and if you are perfect. Noah walked with God. Where is your walk today? Are you walking in the world? Are you walking with God? Number 4, God told him to build an ark. Not any ark or some ark. He gave him specifics. 450 feet long. You don't jump up and do something because you feel like it. But you have to wait before God and say, God, I'm so weak, but what do you want me to do? I'm not intelligent enough. I'm not rich enough. What do you want me to do for you? You don't do anything on your own consent, but you depend on God to do what He wants you to do. Thus did Noah, according to all, in verse 22, thus did Noah according to all that God commanded Noah, so did he. Not anything that you miss, but everything according to God's plan. Now the last point. Sir, I don't know what God's will is in my life. See? You need to learn to hear the voice of God. You need to learn to hear the voice of God. All of your trials and all of your troubles, all your problems, all your weaknesses, it's all going to disappear because you have learned to hear the voice of God. Sir, I didn't mean to say this, but there are some things that you're still trying to work out. There are things, I'm not going to say anything, but there are a few things that in your life, even a diamond, when you find it in the earth, it's not glittering. You are a diamond. But God could not polish you to make you glitter. Deep inside, you always think that you want to do what is right. Suddenly, you feel like you don't have control. But God is going to make a difference in your life. God's going to make a difference in your life. God's going to make a difference in your life because God is going to put, come here, brother. You're my brother, right?